Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and I've got a guest in the studio today. I'm talking to Susanna Cruikshank. How are you, Susanna?
Hi, John. Nice to speak to you.
Cool. Yeah, nice to speak to you too. And you've one of your great enthusiasms is wild swimming. Is that right?
Yes.
And tell us about that. What is that exactly?
Basically, it's swimming in anything that's not a public swimming pool, really. It's the lakes, tarns, rivers, anywhere there's a bit of wild water that you can get to.
So swimming in the wilderness, basically, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have to say right off that's the reverse of what I do. When I got into wild country, my main aim is to be dry. So you must have a very different view on things.
I probably should actually say the last audiobook that I listened to was yours. It was the last Hill Walker, because I don't come from a swimming background. All my outdoor experiences up until this point have been hill walking. It's as much as a surprise to me, really.
So what got you into wild swimming then?
Well, I'm not from the lakes originally, and when I moved up here, it was because I was really interested in hill walking, and right. I spent a lot of time, I didn't do any climbing or anything like that, it was just walking and hiking and, you know, going out and wild camping and just exploring the area around me. I saw people swimming and I knew it was something that you could do, but I just didn't know how or if you were allowed or anything like that. So I just had little dips just to cool off. And then for a few years, I lived with a friend in Keswick, and she swam in the lake every day. And to her, it was just a completely normal thing. She was going to have her daily exercise and swimming was what she did. And one of the things about the Lake District and Cumbria, you know, we are quite spaced out in terms of communities, and our public swimming pools are not great. So Workington close to me, which is a fantastic leisure centre. It's only a 25 metre pool, though. And where I grew up, I had a 50 metre Olympic pool. And, you know, and Keswick's swimming pool is basically a kid's pool. So if you're a serious swimmer, the lake is your best option, really.
And I have to ask you do this all year round, do you?
I do it all year round, yes. In fact, the most recent swimming I did, because obviously we're in lockdown now and where I live, I can't go and swim. The last swimming that I did was the Winter Championships in Scotland, and that's water that's below 5 degrees. You do it without a wetsuit. Yes, all year round.
Oh, you do this voluntarily, do you?
Do it voluntarily.
It sounds pretty cool. Have you ever swum in Loch Ness? Have you?
I've never swam in Loch Ness. No, I've been near it.
Down the road from me.
Say that again. Sorry, John.
It's just down the road from me.
Is it? Ah, oh, fantastic. Well, it's definitely, you know, it's fairly iconic, isn't it, Loch Ness?
It is.
You know, I know someone that lives up there and swims in it regularly, and it's definitely on my to do list.
Right. Okay. I'll leave that to you. I've lived here 30 years, and to be quite honest, I've never been swimming in Loch Ness. Well, no, that's not quite true. I have fallen in once.
Okay.
I was trying to learn to sailboard, is it? And I fell in. Although I do, there's in Loch Ness, there's like a beach at this end that's not that far from Inverness. Shingle Beach, and a place called Dawes, and I know there's a group of ladies, I think every Saturday right the way through the year, go and swim in Loch Ness.
It has become a real thing recently. Certainly when I first started, there wasn't a lot of visibility of swimmers. You know you'd walk up a mountain and you'd see lots of other people, but if you went for a swim, you'd usually get people standing and watching you. But there is a huge amount of people doing it, and the lovely thing is they're accessing it in their own way. Certainly when I first started, I was worried that, you know, I wasn't going to be a triathlete, or I didn't want to swim these big long distances. I just wanted to swim, much the same as I access the mountains. I just wanted to go for a nice walk, and it's lovely to see that however people want to get in the water, that there's somewhere for them to do that and a group for them to do it with.
So it's not like an extreme athletic thing. Is it sort of like an all ability thing, then, is it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you do get your extreme people, and
Right,
certainly there's different extremes to it. So certainly the cold aspect, so the winter aspect, that is extreme, because you are putting your body through something quite different to any other sport. And then I have done longer distance swims, so I've swam the length of Wass Water, which is the deepest lake in the Lake District, and flipping cold.
How far is that then?
It's 4 kilometres, so
Okay.
it's not a massive distance, but for me, you know, that's a reasonable distance for me to swim, and I was quite happy doing that, apart from we got benighted towards the end of the swim, so we had to
It
swim
went
the last
dark.
yeah we had to swim the last half an hour in the dark, which was it was an experience. I would like
I'm
to
not
do
warm
some
to this idea, I must admit.
I would like to do some longer swims. You know, in the British Long Distance Swimming Association, they do Loch Ness as a long swim. Yeah, and so I've got my eye on a few things, but
do they do Loch Ness in a one swim then? Do they?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
It's about 22 miles long, you know.
It is, isn't it?
It's a fair old way. It's a fair way in a boat. Never mind swimming it. Okay, that's the equivalent of swimming the Channel, really, is it? I suppose.
Yeah. Probably a little bit easier though. I think the
I can imagine it
is. Quite,
it's quite tough.
I've never wanted to swim the Channel. It's no. That doesn't appeal to me. But you know, to do something like Loch Ness, or there's the Sound of Iona, to go from Mull to Iona. I'd absolutely love to do that. It's
right.
A mile.
Yeah.
But the currents make it nearer to 2 miles, and you know, you've got it takes quite a lot of local knowledge to do it, so it's more intricate challenges rather than big massive.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah,
and so you know Mull reasonably well, do you?
I know the Ross of Mull reasonably well.
Yeah.
Done a lot of swimming there. I actually take an old ladies, well, that's of them are old.
Ladies
walk there, and we'd spend a week there walking and swimming, and so we do quite a lot of coastal swimming, and Mull's quite a special place.
So you do like in your wild swimming, you're swimming in locks, I should say lakes. And you also swim rivers as well, is that right?
Yeah, rivers. So in the Lake District, we don't have sort of massive distances that you can go in the rivers, but you tend to get sort of these really beautiful river pools and waterfalls and things. So yeah, they're always quite dramatic.
Oh, right. And you said you knew you'd done some swimming in Findhorn, is that right?
Yeah, I had a chance holiday up there a couple of years ago, and I didn't know anything about the place. It was just that I had a friend that lived there, and it sounded lovely, and I was going to the Cairngorms anyway, so I had a few days in Findhorn, and it was just fantastic. Swam in the sea every morning, swam with a seal every morning, and then did quite a lot of swimming in Findhorn River, which, you know, there's lots of bridges and things, and where you get a bridge you tend to have like a nice pool underneath it that you can swim in, so yeah, definitely an area that I want to come back to.
Right, okay, that sounds great. And have you, going back to the lakes a bit, I was wondering, have you ever swum in Angletown?
No, I haven't actually. The Tarns, you see, because I'd started swimming, I started walking in the lakes first. Swimming came a bit later. So by the time I'd done all the lakes and got round to the Tarns, I couldn't really go and swim in them because unfortunately my dad had cancer and I was looking after him. I could go down to the lake and swim because that was like 15, 20 minutes. But to hike up to a tarn was a bit more of an ask.
It's been difficult to get around, yeah.
So Angletown, yeah, definitely on the list, but yeah, might be when we get out of lockdown, I think.
That'd be after lockdown, exactly. Yeah, so and I know obviously before lockdown you're actually sort of leading groups, were you, in taking other people out?
Yeah, so business is on hold at the moment because that is my full-time job, is I lead swims. So I'm there isn't a qualification as a swim guide, but I've got various qualifications in that area for sort of leading in the water and lifeguarding. So yeah, I take people for shortish walks, valley level, and then we go for a nice swim as well.
Oh, right. And is that something that you've been used to, sort of like, give people the confidence to go into the water that they wouldn't have without you being there? Is that kind of that works?
Yeah, definitely. And when I was first starting, I found that once I got going, I was pretty confident. And obviously, I'm a good swimmer, a confident swimmer. But right. a lot of other people weren't in that position and they desperately wanted to do it, but they didn't know how or where or even if they could. Right. And I worked with a company, and I still do work with a company called Walking Women. And they, so I led holidays, okay. walking holidays for them. And they asked me to do a swimming one. And that was the real light bulb moment, because these women wouldn't have otherwise accessed the water on their own. Oh. And I got them in. And that was what made me think, there could be something in this.
Right, so. Right. And I had a look at your website before, and there are like, am I right in thinking that you can get like little buoyancy aids and maybe safety aids to help you? Is that right? Have I read that right?
Yeah, so, well, they're not buoyancy aids. I think they keep you afloat in an emergency, but I wouldn't call it a buoyancy aid. But basically, they're little visibility floats. So you have a little belt that goes around your waist and it floats right. behind you. Because obviously, okay. lots of activities, if you go out for a run or a bike ride or a walk, if you're tired, you need a rest, you can stop and sit down. If you're yes. in a lake, you can't, because you can't put your feet down. So cool. That is basically, it's like your portable pool edge, so you can rest on
so it. You can sort of hang on to these things for a few minutes to get a rest. Is that the idea of them,
And also, obviously, a lot of our lakes, you have boats on them and things, yes. so whilst I try not to swim where there are boats, if you are swimming and there's other users on the lake, at least they can see you as well, so you don't get run over by it.
It's like a little boy, basically, is that what
yeah yeah visibility boy yeah
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So if you were going to give someone like tips as to how to get into wild swimming, what sort of things would you say?
I think to start with, I would tell them to buy this excellent new book that Vertebrate have just published.
Who wrote that?
Yeah, it's by this writer called Susanna Cruikshank. And then after they've bought the book, I'd get them to hire a swim guide.
Same person, I presume.
Yeah, same person.
And that's the most blatant plug I've ever had any
well,
show. Fair enough.
Desperate times, I think. But obviously, the way I started was I went with a friend, and it's absolutely the best way to get into any activity. Go with a friend, someone that's done it before. Right. It's always more fun if you've got someone with you, and it just means you've got someone to watch your back. And I think that's the best way.
It's not, I mean, unless you're as confident as you are, as competent as you are, it's not the kind of thing you'd really want to do on your own, presumably.
No, I mean, I do swim on my own, but that's because I have done in the past, and I do a lot of things on my own. You know, I climb mountains on my own, and I see things quite similarly. But I think if you're not a confident swimmer, the last thing you want is to get into a lake where you don't know how deep it's going to be. You know, some of them, they shoot off really quickly, and you can take two steps and all of a sudden there's nothing underneath you, and you've got to swim. So if you're not prepared for that, you can get into shock quite quickly. So I think to have somebody with you is the most important thing. And I always say to beginners, aim a little bit under what you expect to do. Keep something in reserve, so don't go all out on your last swim, because it's not just swimming like you would in a pool, it's cold as well. So you need that energy and that reserve to keep to be a little bit safe, that's all.
Yeah. So tell me about this book that you've written. What's it about, and how does it talk about swimming? And it's a guide to the lakes. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a guide just to the Lake District, and it's specifically the lakes rather than the towns as well. Because I thought if I try to cram them in all one book, I'm going to be writing it for the rest of my life. So it's just the bigger lakes. But basically, when I started to get a little bit more interested in swimming, and I wanted to do more. So when I was getting interested in walking, I'd got, you know, the Wainwright guides and OS maps and things like that. So, you know, I just went and looked and thought, right, swimming book, I'll go and buy a swimming book. And there was a couple, but they were very, they covered the whole country, basically. They didn't just cover the Lake District. So they had three or four locations, and I already knew them. And I thought, well, that's no good. You know, I want a book to tell me, you know, where I can go and swim. And the more research I did, there wasn't a book. And I think my dad put the idea in my head, you know, there should be a book that tells you where you can go and swim. And there wasn't, so I thought, well, I'll write it then. And it honestly, it was as simple as that. I mean, I never thought it would end up like this. I thought it'd be like a little leaflet or something, but I'm incredibly
you tend to grow, don't you? And you think you'll maybe come north of the border with your swimming guides in the future?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Scotland is massive and
Yes,
there's a
it
lot of water. And, I have got a friend up there who's, he swims all over the place. And, I've spoken to him about it and he said he wouldn't know where to start with a book to Scotland. So maybe, the areas that I know, perhaps like a guide to Mull or something, I think it's,
Yeah.
yeah, definitely something I'll be interested in.
I think there'd be plenty of scope. We've got plenty of water up here, that's for sure.
Have yes,
We're not short of a drop or two,
no.
Plenty of places to swim. Well,
Yeah.
that sounds really good. That's great. That's great. So, thanks very much for coming on the show. And
No problem.
so that's yeah. So tell us again, what's the title of your book?
So it's Swimming Wild in the Lake District, and it's from Vertebrate.
Thanks very much. I hope you've enjoyed coming on the show.
Yes, lovely. Thank you.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed our latest little episode there. And future episodes coming up soon, I'm hoping to get climber Mick Fowler on the show, the climbing tax inspector, who very famously used to drive up and down to Scotland every weekend for his climbing fix. And I'm also going to get, with a bit of luck, Glasgow comedian Obie. Also on the show. That'll be an experience, I can assure you. Okay, thanks very much for listening. I'll see you soon. You take care. Bye bye.